Welcome back to the deep dive. So, if your sources are pointing you towards some of the really advanced, almost sci-fi parts of DeFi, then we are right there with you. Today, we're talking about one concept that just seems to break every rule of traditional banking: flash loans. And the material you've sent over, it goes deep into how this whole thing works, what it's good for, and maybe more importantly, how it can be a huge threat to the DeFi ecosystem. We're talking about borrowing millions, sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars, with absolutely zero upfront collateral. Now, to anyone in normal finance, that just sounds it sounds insane, a complete nightmare for a lender. But it works.
Okay, let's unpack this. How can you possibly borrow that kind of money, run a whole strategy with it, and pay absolutely nothing if it all goes wrong?
That question right there, that's really the core of it, isn't it? How can something be so counterintuitive, but also totally risk-free for the person lending the money? And that's our mission for this deep dive. We're going to move past just the definition. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts, the technology that makes it work. Then we'll look at the legitimate, powerful things you can do with them. And then we have to talk about the serious risk they create for everyone else. And your sources are really clear on this point. This is not just a new type of bank loan. It's something completely new. Flash loans are, purely DeFi native. They couldn't exist without blockchain technology. There's just no equivalent in what we call TradFi.
Right. So let's start with the basics then, the simple definition. A flash loan lets you borrow a huge amount of crypto without putting up any collateral. That's the headline.
Exactly, but the headline is a bit misleading without the fine print.
The catch.
The catch. And it's a big one. You could borrow all that money, but the smart contract forces you to do one thing. You have to pay it all back, plus a small fee, inside the exact same transaction block.
A single block. So we're talking seconds, right? Maybe less. But what if? What if my trade fails, or I run out of gas, or the exchange I'm trying to use just rejects my order? How does the lender not get completely wiped out?
And that is the absolute genius of the technology. It's a concept called atomicity.
Atomicity.
Yeah. You should think of a blockchain transaction not as a bunch of separate steps, but as one single all-or-nothing package. When you take out a flash loan, you're bundling everything together. Step one, borrow the money. Step two, do all your trades, your swaps, whatever. And step three, repay the loan plus the fee, all in one atomic unit.
So what happens if step three fails, if I can't pay it back?
If that repayment fails for any reason at all, the trade wasn't profitable, you messed up the code, anything, the entire transaction is just rejected by the network. It
It
reverts.
reverts, so it's like it never happened.
Exactly. The
Yeah.
funds never even technically left the lender's pool. The network itself guarantees their safety. It's a mathematical certainty.
Wow. Okay, that's the guarantee then.
Yeah.
In the real world, if you default, you get lawyers and courts, and it takes months. Here, if you don't pay it back instantly, the universe just rewinds a few seconds.
That's a perfect way to put it. TradFi is built on trust, time, and legal contracts. Flash loans replace all of that with a single, immediate, all-or-nothing piece of code.
So the two big takeaways here: one, no collateral required, and two, it all works because of these atomic transactions. Okay, so if it's designed to be completely safe for the lender, why would anyone use it? What are the actual legitimate strategies that need this kind of instant massive capital?
Well, this is where it gets really powerful. The sources lay out a few key use cases. When they're used for good, flash loans are an incredible tool for capital efficiency.
Right. Here's where it gets really interesting, because you're talking about capitalizing on these tiny windows of opportunity that might only last for a second.
The first and most famous one is arbitrage.
Price differences between markets.
Exactly. In DeFi, you have dozens of different exchanges, and for a split second, the price of an asset might be slightly different on one versus another. Normally, to make real money from that, say a 1% difference, you need a lot of capital on hand to buy low on one and sell high on the other. You might need, I don't know, $50,000 just to make it worth the gas fees.
But with a flash loan, you don't need any of that starting capital.
Precisely. Let's say you spot a huge opportunity, a 1% spread on a $10 million trade. You just flash loan the $10 million instantly. You buy the token on the cheap exchange, sell it on the expensive one, make a $100,000 profit, repay the $10 million plus maybe a $5,000 fee.
And you walk away with 95 grand.
All in one transaction from zero
Yep.
starting capital. It's pretty incredible.
Okay, that makes total sense for arbitrage. But the sources also talked about something called collateral swapping. That sounds more like managing your own finances. How does a flash loan help you, say, refinance a loan without having to pay it off first?
Yeah, this is a really clever one. So imagine you have a loan on Protocol Alpha, and your collateral is Token X. But maybe Token X is getting really volatile, or another protocol, Protocol Beta, is offering way better interest rates if you use a stablecoin as collateral instead. You want to switch.
Right. In the normal world, you'd have to find the money somewhere to pay off the first loan before you could get your collateral back to open the second one.
Exactly. You need all this bridging capital. The flash loan gets rid of that need entirely. You just borrow the funds with a flash loan. Step one, you use it to pay back Protocol Alpha. Step two, they release your Token X collateral. Step three, you swap X for, say, USDC. Step four, you put the USDC into Protocol Beta to open the new, better loan. And then step five, you use the money from that new loan to pay back the flash loan, all in a few seconds.
So you've completely changed your loan position, optimized your collateral, and you never had to put up a single dollar of your own money to do it. That's efficiency.
And there's one more big one. Liquidation strategies.
Okay. This is about keeping the whole system healthy, right?
Basically, yeah. DeFi lending protocols need to make sure loans don't become under-collateralized. So if your collateral value drops too low, someone, a liquidator, is incentivized to come in, pay off your debt, and claim your collateral at a discount.
And they get a bonus for doing it.
Right. But to do that, the liquidator needs the capital to pay off the debt first. If it's a $5 million debt, they need $5 million sitting there ready to go.
Which means only very wealthy players could act as liquidators.
It used to. But with a flash loan, anyone can do it. You borrow the $5 million, pay the debt, seize the collateral, claim the bonus, and repay the loan, all in one block. It's a capital-free way to perform system maintenance and earn a profit.
These are all incredible examples, a powerful tool for sure. But, and this is a huge but, the sources all had this big warning sign flashing. It's not just a tool, it's also a weapon.
Yes, this is the dark side.
They say attackers use flash loans to make their exploits so much bigger to do the most damage possible. So if the lender is safe, who's actually at risk?
That's the key. The lender is fine. The risk is entirely on the other protocols out there, the exchanges, lending platforms. Mm. Their logic is what gets exploited by this sudden flood of capital.
So the flash loan is like the getaway car and not the weapon itself.
That's a good analogy. The attack uses a vulnerability that's already there in the target protocol's code. But the flash loan is what makes the attack devastating. An attacker doesn't need to be a millionaire. They can borrow $20 million for 3 seconds to pull off a heist.
Okay, so let's walk through how that actually works. The sources mentioned manipulating a price oracle. For anyone listening, what is a price oracle?
So a price oracle is just a service that tells a smart contract what the price of an asset is in the real world. You know, what's one ether worth right now? Protocols need this data for everything. And if you can trick that oracle, even for a moment, you can trick the protocol into making a very, very bad decision.
And the flash loan gives you the firepower to trick it.
Exactly. A common attack goes something like this. An attacker borrows, say, $50 million of token A in a flash loan. Then they find a decentralized exchange where the price of token A is determined by a small, illiquid trading pool. They dump all $50 million into that pool at once,
creating a huge temporary price shock just in that one little corner of the market.
A massive distortion. The price of token A on that one exchange might artificially spike by 10 times. So for just a moment, the oracle connected to that pool screams that token A is super valuable.
And then what?
Well, while the price is artificially high, the attacker quickly uses their now super valuable token A as collateral on a completely different lending protocol. They use it to borrow a huge amount of something actually valuable, like Ether or stablecoins. Then they repay the original $50 million flash loan.
And they walk away with all the Ether they just borrowed, leaving the lending protocol holding a bag of collateral that is now worth a tenth of what they thought it was.
And the protocol is suddenly insolvent. The flash loan didn't create the vulnerability. That was the protocol's choice to use a bad price oracle. But it provided the leverage to make the attack catastrophic.
Without it, the attacker would have needed $50 million of their own, which would have taken forever to raise, and the market would have corrected itself long before they could act.
It forces developers to think differently. You can't assume an attacker won't have capital. You have to assume every tiny flaw in your code will be hit with infinite instant money.
Which brings us to the mitigation strategies that the sources talked about. Protocols have to build defenses now, specifically against this.
It's essential. Things like using better price oracles that pull data from many deep liquid sources, not just one small pool. If you can't manipulate the price feed, that whole attack vector, it disappears.
It's a constant arms race then.
It really is. Okay, so let's just quickly recap the five big things we've pulled from the source material.
Yep.
One, no collateral required. Two, it's all possible because of atomic transactions. Three, it's an incredibly powerful tool for things like arbitrage and refinancing.
But four, it's also a weapon that magnifies attacks.
And finally, five, it is completely DeFi native. You won't find this anywhere else.
So there you have it. You now have a really solid grasp of a financial primitive that truly turns traditional banking on its head. You understand not just the what, but the how, that atomic guarantee, and you see its two faces, an engine of efficiency and a tool for creating chaos.
Which leads to one final, I think, provocative thought that comes out of all this. We know the flash loan is here to stay. It's an attack vector that will always exist. This ability to execute a high capital complex attack in a single block.
So you can't really regulate the tool itself.
I don't think so. The focus has to shift entirely to the environment, to the protocols themselves. If every flaw has the potential to be exploited with effectively unlimited capital, doesn't that make risk management in DeFi less about stopping the attacker and more about perfecting the structural integrity of the code? The sources really imply that the whole future of DeFi hinges on this balance. Mm. How do you build a protocol that's strong enough to withstand a test from an attacker who has infinite instant leverage? That's the real challenge.